This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Welcome. I'm Jay Wirth, your host, and I'm really glad to have Michelle West, founder of Chamber Speak, with us today. And we're going to be broaching the subject of artificial intelligence. Let's have Michelle introduce herself and tell us just a little bit about your company, Chamber Speak, and what it does.
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited to have this conversation. So Chamber Speak has been around since 2012. I started it after spending 7 years as the VP of Marketing and Communications for the Springfield Area Chamber of Commerce in Springfield, Missouri. And I created it out of the need that I saw. No matter how, I'd go to conferences, and no matter how big the organization was, no matter how large the communications team was, no one ever had enough time or resource to do everything that needed to be done. And so I created the business to provide marketing and communications support for organizations, chambers of commerce, associations that just needed that little extra help to fill some gaps. So over the years, my products have and services have evolved as the needs have evolved. I've done everything from speech writing to video production. I have a strong background in video production, to ad campaigns, to outreach, positioning campaigns, things like that. So really anything under the marketing communications umbrella. I've got experience in or can access the right resources to pull a project together. So, and then just recently, probably in the last few months, have started to go down the AI trail in developing some tools that can be used by chambers of commerce or other associations to just bring some more efficiency and productivity to their operations.
Communications is such an important element for any nonprofit organization or for-profit organization, of course. Today's conversation, we're going to focus a little more on the artificial intelligence side. And I'm wondering if eventually AI will be renamed because of the capabilities of some of these tools. It's almost like they're real. They're not artificial.
That is true. They do seem real. They still are simulated, right? So they still don't replace so much about humans that are important to the communication process. So they still don't have, they can't really think for themselves. Everything that they're doing is built on something that a human has put into a program to program the tool to do what it does. They're not going to have emotional intelligence, common sense, not going to have common sense and some of those critical thinking skills that are so important to us as humans.
Where do you think AI can provide the most value and have the greatest impact for a nonprofit organization that uses it?
Efficiency and productivity. There's a lot of things that we do. So AI has been basically developed, machines and systems developed to do things that humans would normally do. So, and a lot of the tools that you're seeing are things that are going to bring, make things faster, bring productivity gains to an organization, especially in the generative AI space, which when you think of generative AI, it is generating content or generating something. Those types of productivity gains that you can get, I can plug some prompts into an AI tool like ChatGPT and get maybe a blog article written or an outline for a presentation or something else that I need in the content space in a fraction, in seconds, versus what it might take me, an hour to produce. Now, I still have to touch it after it. It's not going to be good enough for me to put it out in the public. I still have to take a look at it. I still have to spend some time on it. But it gets like that creative flow started for you. Creates a foundation for you that then you can use your human expertise and your creativity to make it your own.
You mentioned the term prompt. Some of our listeners may not know what that means, but prompt is really the essence of getting reasonable results from an AI tool. So can you do like a short course on prompting right now and say, what is the best way to prompt?
Yeah, absolutely. So prompt, think of a prompt as just basically an instruction. You have to think of your AI tools. If you're using generative AI like Copilot or Bard or ChatGPT, the more information you can put in, the more specific your information can be to in the instructions phase. So instead of just saying, for example, write a blog article on fundraising for economic development, you're going to get whatever that tool thinks it's going to search all of its foundation of knowledge, everything that's been put into the system, and it's going to bring you back something that's fairly generic. Now, if you get very specific and you say, write a 600-word blog article on fundraising specific to economic development projects in a medium-sized metro in North America, and then gives some more instructions. This article should describe the benefits of taking on a project, the challenges a community might face, ways to overcome those challenges, and then even end it maybe with a call to action. Then you're going to get a much richer, much more useful output from your tool than that original prompt of just write a blog article. The more information you can provide to the tool and the more specific instruction, the better. Just think of it as you've got maybe a brand new employee, brand new to your organization, doesn't know much about the organization, maybe they're entry level, doesn't have a lot of work experience. You're going to need to give them a little bit more specific instruction than you are going to have to give someone who's been working at your organization for 10 years, knows all the ins and outs, knows your target audience, that type of thing. Giving it very specific instructions on what you want to receive on the other end and who the content is targeted toward will help that tool bring you back something that's going to be much more useful and save you time. Take just a little bit of time on that front end, being specific with the instructions. You're going to be much happier with what the output is. You're still going to have to touch it though. That's I can't reinforce that enough. It still needs a human touch. A lot of times I see, especially some of the tools that I use, the same kind of verbiage gets used over and over again. So if I'm asking it to write an article or get an article started for me, it'll come back with, especially some of this aspirational language that just makes me laugh. Things like a beacon of hope in, you know, a world where, you know, or the word tapestry gets used a lot. It's just, again, basically pulling from its knowledge base, what's been put into the system. So that's what you're getting out. And so you have to get in there and apply your own brand voice to it. Tone of voice, make it sound like you, make it sound like your organization. You're going to have to do that. But some of the stuff that comes out is, you know, is actually quite good for as a first draft.
I think the visual analogy would be when you see some of these AI generated visuals where the individual has six fingers. So what you're saying is the same in the verbal or written word is you have to examine it and see what's could be missing or what's out of order, like you say.
Absolutely.
Word usage, yeah. That sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely. I have a friend who operates a one-man band news organization. He's been looking for ways to scale his business because he can't be everywhere and doing everything. He's a recipient of a lot of press releases that come in from organizations around the community. He had a press release come in from the local police department, and it was in regard to an accident that had happened. And so he thought, I'm going to run this through an AI tool and see if it can write a news story for me. It came back and it had made up a quote and a person and attributed the quote to a made up person. There were a couple of other inaccuracies in it. Cannot count on it completely to do your job for you. So your job is safe. That's the good news, right? The bad news is that you're still going to have to touch the things. If you're using it as a tool, you're still going to have to take a look at it. You're going to have to make sure it's accurate, make sure the tone of voice is correct, and make sure it sounds like it was written by a human.
Do you think there are AI applications that could help chambers understand and analyze their members better, and the same with other nonprofit organizations analyzing their donor data, the sentiment or feedback they're getting from their respective constituents?
There are all kinds of ways that AI can help organizations in getting kind of a better sense of what their audience wants. Those tend to be less maybe generative AI tools and more kind of those foundational AI tools. Things that, you know, if you've got, for example, a bot on your website, or you could consider installing a bot on your website that is loaded up with a bunch of great information about your organization, what your mission is, what you aim to achieve, what your needs are as an organization to achieve that mission, so that when somebody comes to your website at 3 a.m. for whatever reason and is asking questions or trying to get information about your organization, you can then use that data to understand what kind of questions people have. Where are they going when they're asking for help? Maybe it's your clientele. What types of trends are you seeing in the questions and the feedback? If you have fundraising activities, you can identify trends based on how people might be using your website. Google Analytics has a lot of AI functionality where it can help you analyze what's happening on your website based on the traffic you're seeing and where people are going and that type of thing. Just engagement. You can put data in and get some help with, how are people engaging? Social media tools have all kinds of AI functionalities, so you can access those to see what kind of content people are engaging in, who your audience, what are the demographics of your audience, and what the trends might be for those audiences. There's all kinds of ways you can use it. It's just a matter of just getting out there and finding the right tools. The first step, though, is asking yourself what problem you're trying to solve. Then go find a solution for that problem, because you could go down a rabbit hole and find all kinds of AI bells and whistles to add to your operation that may not actually ultimately solve that problem.
How do you begin that search, though? Do you experiment within a Google search engine or some other search engine to try to find those correct tools, the ones that work best?
You can ask your tools. So if you know the problem you're trying to solve, say I'm trying to determine what product or service my members value the most, and then go to a tool like Copilot or ChatGPT and just ask it, how could I use AI to help me find this information or solve this information? What kind of AI tool should I look for, install, or build to do this? That'll give you a nice starter list. And then from there, you can take maybe the best 10 ideas. You maybe ask it for the best 10. From those 10 ideas, then you could start on your Google search.
What's the worst idea you've come across when you've tried to find a tool? Do you have a memory of that at all?
There's definitely, in the graphic design space, there is a lot of maybe a progress to be made, so to speak. Still getting in the graphic design or image space, as you could see recently, the six fingers added to a photo. There's the meme going around social media of asked AI to show me salmon in a river, and there's a nice piece of cooked salmon on top of a river. I don't know if that actually happened, but I see how it definitely could. So there's still a lot of progress to be made over on that side, but the tools are getting better and better every day.
I would imagine you're finding that chambers that you specifically work with and even other nonprofits would find value in perhaps how artificial intelligence could help you segment your membership, because not everyone is impacted by a communication style in the same way. In other words, mm-hmm. people have preferences for their communication style, the way they like to receive information. Can AI help with that? Have you used that for that reason?
Yeah. So, I mean, first you need to understand the different types of audiences. And that's something you can do just from kind of understanding your business. If the problem you're trying to solve, so with chambers, I like to say you've got two audiences. Some people will say it's small business and large business, but I break it down a little further to say that you've got the gimmies and the get its. And the gimmies are the people who sign up for chamber membership expecting to instantly grow their business as a result of the first networking event they show up for. Got any freebies that come up with membership? Want those? Everything, all of access to all of the free stuff. The get its are the people that understand the bigger picture and get value out of being a member of the chamber because they know it's the rising tide lifts all boats. They know that they're investing in the economic sustainability of their community by being a member. They still appreciate all of those other features of membership, but they're really doing it for that reason more than anything else. And the gimmies tend to be the people that they're the revolving door, right? They're the people that after a year, maybe 2 years, they don't renew their memberships. So you want to get the people from the gimme stage to the get it stage. Some of them will never come along. So understanding that problem is probably the first thing, and then being able to segment that audience. So the gimmies, you may not even want to be communicating really that much with them, because the reality is they're probably not going to retain. So trying to bridge the gap and helping understand how you get the people who signed up for the free stuff to get the bigger picture, that's probably the problem you're trying to solve. So then figuring out with that audience what the commonalities are. So you could use an AI tool to first, maybe first of all, you figure out with that membership, you take a look and you analyze yourself. What do these businesses have in common? And then you use your AI tool to try to hone down some messaging. You know, here's my target audience. My target audience are businesses with X number of employees in this sector. What type of messaging would they respond to? And it'll pull from its knowledge base. Then you can compare that based on any analytics you have about anything that you're doing. So emails that you're sending out to your membership, social media engagement, events they're showing up for. You can kind of compare and contrast that so that you can get to a point where you are able to tailor a message for that specific audience and then just test it. Use your AI tools, you know, your social media, your, if you're using your CRM to analyze your email statistics, there's AI tools built into that. Use those analytics that you're pulling from all of the sources that of the analytics that you have. You can even load those into an AI tool. So I'm getting engagement on this type of post and this type of post. How can I better communicate based on this information? So it's really, it's first starting again with that problem that you want to solve. Secondly, just trying to access the information that you have available to you now, and then plugging that information and getting an analysis from an AI tool.
What do you think are the key considerations for ensuring data privacy, security, and ethical use of the data? You've talked a lot about data.
In terms of privacy, Copilot right now is the only tool that I'm aware of that stands by the claim that your data is not going anywhere. When you put it into the tool, it's not going up into the bigger machine that to be used for learning. That said, I wouldn't trust any of it. So anything that you put into any tool, anything on the cloud, anywhere, there's potential there for breaches. There's potential there for the tool to be using it for another reason. There's potential for someone to be able to hack into the system and access that data. So I think you just need to first trust that you can't trust. Don't put customer information, don't put proprietary information, don't put any trade secrets, et cetera. You don't want anything, if you wouldn't want it on the, I'll show my age here. If you wouldn't want it on the front page of the newspaper, then don't put it up into any of these tools. So that's the first thing in terms of a privacy. Might be a good, if you're going to start integrating AI use into your organization, it might be a good idea to consider a use policy. Talk to your team, talk to your leadership team about how you want to be using AI, how your team should not use it. Put some guardrails in place for the use of it, so people understand. Here's a list of do's. Here's a list of don'ts. Just to kind of keep your organization with those ethical standards that you want to be known for, and you want your customers and your clients to trust.
What do you believe are the key factors for successfully implementing and adopting AI-related solutions within a nonprofit organization's team?
Again, back to that, figure out what problem you want to solve. Mm-hmm. So start there. So think and go for some quick wins and some small victories. So if you have a problem in that, for example, a lot of small teams, content generation is an issue, right? You're having to generate a lot of content for social media, a lot of content for maybe email marketing that's going out to your audience, a lot of content for other things. So maybe that's a place where you can start. If you don't have the team's having trouble keeping up with that, then that's a place maybe where you could start. How can we use this to generate content? That's a really easy, low barrier of entry. There are a lot of free tools out there that can help you with content generation. And those are also easy things to kind of keep track of. As I was mentioning, you know, you could get good at prompting, put your prompt into the system. It'll generate something back out that you're going to have to review, but it's pretty low risk, right? If I'm generating a social media post on how to use AI for chambers of commerce, it's pretty low barrier of entry for me to push that through a tool, review it, and very low risk for then me to put it up on to Facebook or wherever I want it. So start in those areas that are low risk and low barrier of entry. And then just keep looking for opportunities. Stay up to date on hopefully some industry trends will start emerging in the nonprofit world on how to use these tools, how to best use these tools. And just stay up to date on that and figure out when the next problem comes. Just start identifying problems within your organization and start thinking about, I wonder if there's a tool for that. Communicate across all of your networks in the chamber industry, members of ACCE or members of your state or regional associations can be great resources to figure out who's doing what and how. I'm sure in the remaining nonprofit association world, it's the same. There's the same type of networks exist. So just keep talking, keep looking, identify that you may have some members of your team that are really fascinated by it. I mean, the only reason I'm one step ahead of maybe some of the audience is just because I was fascinated by it. I'm definitely no expert. I've just been fascinated by it. I've been started to look into it, started to figure out how to use it. Maybe you have some members of your team that have that passion for it or interest in it. That could be kind of their role is to keep up to date on things and figure out how to introduce tools into the operation. So I think it's just a matter of just getting as much information as you can and taking it in small steps.
Your comments anticipated my next question, which is leaders of organizations have to have emotional intelligence because some people fear that artificial intelligence will replace them.
That is definitely something that leaders need to consider because there's going to be a segment of your organization that is going to be concerned. The reason I started looking into AI was because as a marketing communications provider, I was hearing a lot of information that indicated that my role in my business might get turned upside down, that I might be irrelevant. So I started looking into it and I started finding, some of my clients could probably use AI instead of using me. But what I did as I was researching and I was uncovering more and more information, I realized that, yes, there was the potential for some of my services to become irrelevant. But also there was a great potential for me to use AI to build something better. So the things that AI can't do, like have emotional intelligence, do critical thinking, think for itself, have common sense. The things that it can generate content, but it can't do it in such a way that it's perfect. I can generate really great content, but I can't do it at scale and at speed. So how can I use the strengths of AI and the strengths of myself to build something better? And so I think making sure that your team understands that this is not here to replace you. It's here to help you do your job faster and easier so that you can open up space in your calendar and in your head to do bigger thinking, to do other things that are going to move the organization forward. So I think it's just those assurances that we're not investigating this so that we can have fewer people on our team. We're investigating this so that we can move the boat faster and easier. And definitely, I mean, AI is just not there. I don't know that it will ever be there. I mean, maybe it will be. To do everything has to be touched by a human. It's just not going to be good enough generated straight from AI to your social media platform or to your email out to your audience or to a presentation to your board. It's just not going to be good enough. It's always going to need that human touch.
This has been a very good overview of artificial intelligence. You've probably raised some questions that our listeners have. How can they contact you? What's the best way to reach you?
So you can head to chamberspeak.com. You can also head there, AI for Chambers, whichever one, AIforChambers.com, whichever one you can remember. And I'm Michelle. Just fill out the form or email me at michelle@chamberspeak.com. And always happy to answer any questions. Anything I learn, I'm happy to share because I just know it has such potential to make everyone's work faster and easier.
I have the impression you'll be several months ahead of the rest of us for some time. So thank you, Michelle West. For more resources to help your organization with fundraising, please visit convergentnonprofit.com and click on the resources tab at the top of the homepage. I'm Jay Wirth. Thanks for listening and for making a difference in your corner of the world.